Raymond Allen. I'm the publisher of Rumor Mill News, and I've got Richard Green, the executive editor of Rumor Mill News, on the line with me. And we're just going to be talking a little bit about some of the breaking news that we've had on Rumor Mill News in the last couple of days. Rumor Mill News is not like the other news sites. I guess most of you have realized that right now. One of the things that we do is we cover every aspect of the human condition and of the earth condition and of the universal condition and of every possible condition that you can imagine. And we give them side by side equal weight. In other words, we don't give the political, 100% of the weight or 99% of the weight, and the people, you know, one half tiny percent of the weight. We cover everything equally. And I've also got a call into Phil Berg, and we've been leaving messages on each other's voicemails. And so I actually left him our call-in number, the 888, I'm not going to give it out right now since I'm wanting to leave it open for Phil Berg. So I'm hoping that he will give us an update and let us know what he knows about the Supreme Court hearing his case on this Friday. Richard, what do you think is some of the most interesting news that has been on Rumor Mill in the last few days?
Well, that's almost impossible to diagnose because just about everything has been really interesting. We have some times when, you know, it's not a lot of exciting stuff to talk about, but I tell you, since about the third or fourth day of January, it's just been a gangbusters of things to consider and issues that have been coming up, and then there's this fight going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and
We're practically not covering that at all on Rumor Mill News. And I think it's because we've all realized that it's just propaganda we're getting. You know, nobody's really telling the truth. You know, Richard, I'm going to be interviewing Les Coleman on Monday. And you remember what all of us did in our letter writing and phone calling campaign to get him released from prison.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? He's teaching at a university about 20 miles outside of Beirut.
Wow.
And so, you know, he was saying that, I talked to him for quite some time the other night, and he was saying that at the moment Lebanon is quite safe and peaceful, but if Hezbollah decides to go to war against Israel, that we could have the same thing happening in Lebanon that was happening during the Reagan administration.
Well, that's a scary possibility because the different factions in Lebanon, Christians and Muslims and what have you,
are
all heavily armed. They're all highly motivated, and they've all done this before, and they're not unwilling to spill blood if it's in their own personal interest to do so.
I know it.
They're not shrinking violets in Lebanon.
And the other thing that I was reading an article about the assaults on anything Jewish that's going on in France right at the moment. And the article, I don't remember where I was reading it, I didn't post it on Rumor Mill, but it was talking about how many Islamic foreigners are living in France right now. And the Jews are just a very small minority compared to all of these Islamic, most of them are illegals. Some of them are citizens only by the fact that they were born there. They were born of illegal immigrants. And so it's most amazing what is going on.
On that particular issue, the reason that there are so many native-born Algerians and people from Tunisia, those are the two main sources of Islamic people in France. To a lesser degree, Muslims from Nigeria have also emigrated there, but I believe most of those went under the law. But the reason that there are so many of the Algerian natives, and now they're natural-born progeny, is because at one point the French believed, as did the Germans, that they needed a lot of, you know, cheap labor. And what better group of people to recruit for your dead-end jobs than people who were really suffering in the colonial administration, or who were basically hungry for a better life and were willing to take the trip and the chance to go north and cross the Mediterranean and go to France. And many of them went through Spain, because for a long time the border between Spain and France there in the mountains was absolutely porous. And all you had to do was show up after the gendarmes went out to lunch, and you could walk right across into France because there was no control. And this is what they wanted for a very long time. And then there got to be millions of these people who came out of Algeria and Tunisia. And then they were, you know, sort of up against the wall, because here they are. And they're living in the suburbs of Paris, and they're working at the odd jobs and the dead-end jobs that they were supposed to work at. But now they have money, and now they can read, and now they're on the internet, and now they have digital cameras and stuff. And most of them speak two or three languages, as many immigrants in Europe do, or here, for that matter. And so they can communicate with each other in their native tongue, and unless the police and the intelligence services hire lots of people who can speak that language, and where do you get them if not from Tunisia and Algeria? And then who can trust that method of reporting? Because what's going to be the natural inclination of people born in France from Tunisia and Algeria but to sympathize with their kinfolk or their fellow compatriots? So the French have an extremely difficult problem to solve, and we saw this several times in the last couple of years in terms of the suburban riots around the Paris outer city, the ring of they call them mansions, because the French word for mansion is also related to, you know, an estate. They're called estates or mansions, and these policemen really can't figure out what to do with all these kids, because most of the interaction between the police and Algerian and Tunisian immigrants in the past has been revolving around petty crimes like theft and illegal gambling and carjacking and what have you. That's not a petty crime, of course, if you're in the car, but stealing cars in particular for many years was something that these illegal immigrants were wont to do, because there was always a market for them somewhere, and if not in another part of France, and then in another part of Europe. And so an underground industry has basically developed that keeps at least some of these young, dissatisfied, disaffected Arabs — there are mostly Arabs, some Berbers, but not many — keeps them busy. And then, of course, there's all the other mischief that they can get into on their own. So the French have an extremely serious social problem. They're not really on target to solving it. And then again, the reaction of the people is getting increasingly militant, because they're just tired of the crime. And, of course, not every immigrant from Algeria or Tunisia is a criminal, nor are they from a criminal family. But just enough of them are to make everyone suspicious. And this is paralleled in an odd way in our own country, because probably the reluctance of the so-called big thinkers to confront Mr. Barack Obama about his faulty claim to be a natural-born citizen is based on the idea that they don't want the native-born African-Americans or black people to get upset and start riots in the inner cities or wherever they happen to live, not to mention the fact that there are many thousands of middle-class African-American families who everybody wants to woo and win over to their side, in county elections, municipal elections, or in district elections for Congress. So it's like a 700,000 volt wire down in your neighborhood. It's making everybody uncomfortable. It's dangerous, but who's going to grab it? Nobody.
Yeah, exactly. So for those of us who don't know what Berbers are, can you give a brief description of a Berber?
Berbers are indigenous people who live mostly in the mountains in northwest Africa. And they're spread across a fair area, but you find them mostly in Tunisia and Morocco, and to a lesser extent in Algeria. They are probably either Caucasian in origin or from an Egyptian branch of the old Coptic line, which nobody really knows, you know, what the ethnicity, if there is any, that you can name.
Are they Christians, or do they have a religion of their own, or what?
The Berbers are mostly Muslim. There's, in fact, I don't know of any Christian activity in the Berbers. It's just that they have a different language. They consider themselves to be superior to the Arabs. Many have green eyes and reddish-brown hair. And they have their own history. It goes back way, way back. So the Berbers are, they're a minority in that area of northern Africa compared to the Arabs. And in the past, they fought with the French, and then they fought against the French. And, of course, one of the untold stories of World War One was how many Algerian Arabs volunteered to go and fight for France during the latter part of the First World War. They were discriminated against in the colonial regime, and yet when they needed the manpower, the French went, you know, shopping, so to speak, and made all kinds of promises to the Algerians, Arabs, and got thousands of them to pony up and become soldiers. And then when they were in France fighting, they were still discriminated against and basically, you know, devalued. And this has left a very unhappy legacy in the relations between the people who came out of northern Africa at that time. And in fact, many of the families that are in France now brought over their own people, because there was still economic freedom after the war, even though France was terribly devastated. But the loss of manpower that the French suffered during the war was so acute that these families could find work and profitable work. So they're in the twilight zone in France. They're there. They've been there for a long time in some cases. Many of their children and even grandchildren now are natural born in France, and they speak, as I said, two or three different languages. And yet they're despised. And they hate the, you know, snotty French about as much as everybody else in the world. But, yeah, you know, going back to Algeria to try to work there is just not going to happen. They like the idea that they can get good wages and move up in French society, because even in France, with its socialist type organizations of politics, I mean, you can't go into politics and be an Arab, but you can make a living and make a nice living. And then, of course, there are the criminal gangs, which are all part of this, and they turn over a fantastic amount of money, as I said, car theft and what have you, which is tolerated to a certain degree because they just can't run all these people out of the country. I mean, there are so many thousands of people in this racial category. It's not really a race, but in this ethnic category, who can and have claimed the rights of French citizens to which they are entitled. And you can't just, you know, you can't diss them in the court, so to speak. Maybe they're never going to rise to be, you know, foreman in a company, but they're there and they pay their taxes, and most of them are pretty well law-abiding. The problem is that Islamic fundamentalism has begun to spread amongst the youngest elements of this immigrant society, and now everybody's very worried.
Yeah, and what is happening in, as I was talking with Les Coleman the other day, what's happening in Gaza could spread to Lebanon. If it spreads to Lebanon, it could easily spread to Europe.
Absolutely, and when you consider the large number of Turkish immigrants that there are in Germany, and some of the other ethnic groups that have been able to get into European countries and find work, you've got Muslims from the Far East in Denmark and in Holland. You've got, as I said, the Algerian community and the Tunisians who came over to work after, during and after the First World War, and then many of whom stayed. And then there was a large, you know, migration after the Second World War when there was so much rebuilding to do in France. Yeah. And many of those families stayed. So there's just a tremendously thorny problem in all of Europe, Western Europe anyway. But you're also seeing it develop in places like the former Yugoslavia and in Poland, and just anywhere that that Muslim people go, they find themselves redlined. They don't like it. You know, they want to work. They want to prosper. And so these tensions are building up. Italy is another example. And the curious thing there is that their problem is with Albanian Muslims who come across the water and start criminal gangs. There's just a tremendous social upheaval going all through Europe that doesn't get a lot of publicity because nobody's happy about it. And it doesn't suit anybody either.
And, you know, it sure doesn't take very many people to cause problems. And, you know, the sad problem is, I think you and I have traced the origin of Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, all the way back to the British MI6 in World War II. And then after World War II, the Muslim Brotherhood was invited to join us here in the United States. And one of the men who was the head of the Muslim Brotherhood settled in Colorado and then was so disgusted by, you know, the society that we have here in the United States that he went to Saudi Arabia, and he's the one that literally was behind the Wahhabi sect that, you know, out of which Al-Qaeda comes. And, of course, you know, the fact that he lived here in the United States, it just really makes me think, you know, what did they do? Do some sort of mind-altering programming on him, you know, radicalize him, send him back to radicalize, you know, what, three different generations by now?
Well, that's probably a stretch. These people come from a different culture and have a different view of the world, especially if they are faithful to the Quran. They pretty much become disgusted with American society and it's what they view are the laxity of our morals. And besides that, you know, they're immersed in a largely Christian environment, and they choose to ignore the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad to respect the laws and the books of the Jews and the Christians. And frankly, that's been the missing element in the success of Islam for many hundreds of years. Because as soon as they get the majority, or as soon as they get the political power, or as soon as they get the economic power, they turn it on anybody they don't like. And if they're pagans, they kill them. If they're Christians and Jews, they tax them out of existence, or prevent them from marrying, or prevent them from buying and selling, which is not, that's not kosher, so to speak, but they can do it because, as you know, there are no democracies under Islam.
Yeah, absolutely. They are all male-dominated monarchies.
Or the Taliban. It's either a caliphate,
yes,
or a king, or in more recent times, as you said, the Taliban-style organization.
Yeah, the
And the Taliban are, of course, to be feared. They're not numerous yet, but they're very effective.
And you know what I don't understand is why there isn't more reaction in the far left feminist world about the way the Taliban treats women. I mean, because I hate to say it, if we don't stop the Taliban movement, I don't really want to wear a burqa and only be allowed out of my house if I'm with a male relative. You know, I don't have any male relatives living near me anymore. I'll never be allowed out of my house. I'll just starve to death.
Well, it's not likely that anyone in California is going to be forced to live under those kinds of laws, at least not in the foreseeable future, and certainly not as long as the socialists are in control there. However,
Richard,
your point is well taken.
One of the things that has never, ever come out, it only came out in a couple of places, is the very strong communist infiltration into this radical Muslim movement. In other words, the Taliban and the communists are almost, you know, hand in glove with each other, and this has been going on for years, you know, 40, 50 years now. Mm-hmm. I was talking with Les Coleman, and of course he's the one that wrote The Trail of the Octopus, about the bombing of Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie, and of course it was blamed on Libya, and he and I have both known that Gaddafi has been a CIA asset for years. We knew Gaddafi didn't do it. We also knew that Gaddafi knew exactly who did it and was keeping his mouth shut under orders from his CIA handlers. Well, the man who bombed it, I think it is Jabril, but I cannot remember because
Jabril.
it's been years since I since I wrote this. We have it published somewhere on Rumor Mill News. But he was a Palestinian terrorist that was paid something like $14 million, which in those days was a heck of a lot of money, by the Iranians to take down an American plane. And he was an avowed communist. He wasn't just a Palestinian terrorist. He was a Palestinian terrorist who was an avowed communist.
In this case, I would say that what you're seeing is the enemy of my enemy is my brother. Because there's hardly anything in the Taliban movement that would account for them wanting to cooperate with the communists when their origin is in killing communists.
Yes, that may be, but what I'm saying is this guy in Palestine was an avowed communist, not somebody who joined or not somebody who loved communists because they were the enemies of the capitalists. This guy was a hardliner in the communist movement.
Okay.
And I have talked to a number of different people who know about this, and yes, a number of the original terrorists were avowed communists, and my thought is, okay, what did they steal from communism? Did they steal the philosophy? They may not be aligned with anybody now, but hey, I think if you look at the Taliban, you can probably see that they're either following Hitler or Mussolini, or maybe Stalin in their tactics. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, I would say that you're right about naming Mussolini as someone that they would be following if they knew who he was. The point is that the concept that allowed Mussolini to govern for, you know, such a long time in Italy and to be effective is in using the power of the state with a religious authority as background and backing to suppress political dissent and drive forward an agenda that, in essence, can be called National Socialism, whether it really is or not. You don't have to, you know, fly the swastika to be a National Socialist.
You know, it's so difficult to decide what is National Socialism, what is fascism, what is Peronism, what is Francoism. I mean, the long and short of it is they're all totalitarian dictatorships.
That's correct, and they all operate off the same basic template.
Hey, let's talk about pelicans falling out of the sky from New Mexico to Oregon when we come back. So this is an article that has totally missed the news. Folks, this is Raylan Allen, Rumor Mill News Radio, and Richard Green and I are just having a conversation about some of the news on Rumor Mill News. So join us after the break.
Today's show was brought to you by LifeQuest World Corporation, a life science company that is dedicated to significantly improving the lives of its family members, associates, and distributor organizations. We strive daily through our own research and development laboratories, as well as our professional association with one of the world's leading botanical research centers, to provide human beings with solutions to many of life's unanswered health challenges, infusing proprietary science under the scrutiny of good manufacturing practices, and adhering to the efficacy of pharmaceutical protocols, LifeQuest products are effective, safe, and superior within the marketplace for nutritional supplements and consumables. LifeQuest strives to present a whole-minded approach to better living by putting equal emphasis on an improved lifestyle, freedom through financial reward, and the enhancement of the human spirit. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642 and be strong, live long.
to look younger and feel youthful and revitalized. We strive for these things our whole life, but always seem to fall short of our expectations. Some products on the market may sound great, but all you're really getting is expensive marketing and a bottle full of chemicals. Remember, aging is a disease, reminding us every day that our bodies are breaking down. The new wave of natural health and beauty is here with Orgon's G5 Organic Silica. The anti-aging potential of G5 Organic Silica is one of the elements in the body that becomes greatly deficient as we age. Just 2 tablespoons of G5 Organic Silica a day can help keep aging away. Also, check out Orgon's ChemBuster. With a food shortage and crops more precious than ever, the ChemBuster can help alleviate drought and increase fertility and vitality of your crops. Health does not need to be expensive or complicated. Simple technology equals profound results at OrgonProducts.org. Visit orgoneproducts.org or call 646-498-5309. That's 646-498-5309.
Boom!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Some of the parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
Wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More.
You are listening to The Micro Effect. Microbroadcasters covering 194,000 square miles and bringing the people's voice to little towns all across America.
Be strong, live long with ImmuneXT. 100% natural and certified vegetarian, ImmuneXT is the world's most powerful immune stimulatory extract on the market. Researched and developed over a 10-year period by research scientists at the National Center for Natural Products Research at the prestigious University of Mississippi. Our bodies are under attack daily by viral and bacterial agents. To maintain health and wellness, you must strengthen, stimulate, and enhance immune responses to pathogens and foreign invaders, protecting yourself from illness, disease, and even death. The answer is ImmuneXT. Clinically proven to enhance the body's defense mechanisms against bacterial and viral infection and strengthen and support optimal performance of the immune system. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642 and be strong, live long. This show is brought to you by the makers of JC Tonic, the Youth Solution. First introduced to the market over 60 years ago, the Youth Solution's 18 bidirectional herbs and 6 vital minerals emphasize balance and longevity, counteract stress, improve endurance, increase physical and mental energy, stamina and circulation, and detoxify and maintain cellular health. Try the Youth Solution now and join the thousands of consumers experiencing life-saving results. For more information, visit us online at rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642 and be strong, live long.
The news before, sometimes even before the mainstream media gets it. And, you know, we've been realizing what's been going on in the world ever since Rumor Mill News has been created. And so, yeah, we're kind of living on the edge here at rumormillnewsradio.com. But I want to talk about, there are a number of things that have happened, 3 things that I want to connect right together that happened yesterday and the day before yesterday. And one of the things that happened is pelicans falling out of the sky from Mexico to Oregon. And pelicans suffering from some mysterious malady are crashing into cars and boats, wandering along roadways and turning up dead by the hundreds across the West Coast from southern Oregon to Baja California and Mexico. Okay, well, that is one of the things that has happened. People don't have any idea, the bird experts don't have any idea what is wrong with these pelicans. They've got a lot of ideas what it may be, but they don't have a clue. Okay, now the other thing that I want to associate that with is it appears that yesterday, for a certain time period, National Radar Service radar was taken offline. And it appeared for a while that there was no coverage whatsoever of anything that was going on from California all across the entire middle of the United States. So that was an interesting one. Why were they taken offline?
Let me ask you, did that extend to New Jersey?
That was exactly what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We can't tell. We don't know how long it was down. We don't know the areas of it that was down. V.K. Durham said the entire thing was down,
mm-hmm.
and put up a map showing that there were no radar images for anything. But of course, by the time I got to it, the radar images were working again. You know, that's why we've got to teach her how to take screenshots so that she can capture it as it was when she saw it.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, it started working again. But the New Jersey thing, it was exactly what I thought. There was a UFO. Did you watch that video of that UFO?
No, I haven't seen it, but I did hear about it.
The video is so credible, you just can't believe it. At one point, you can see that the craft is triangular in shape.
Mm.
The husband of this family, I mean, a completely credible American white upper middle class Christian family. I don't know whether they're Christian or not. But, in other words, a family that nobody could call a raving batch of lunatics. And the father is a pilot.
Well, that's what we need. We need that kind of credibility, because the machinery that keeps us oppressed seeks to suppress that sort of discussion. And whether those are man-made aircraft or whether they're visitors from another planet or another galaxy, we don't know, because they just lie to us over and over. And this is yet another item on the list of abuses, long train abuses that we the people group have been protesting, and which I believe are serious enough to warrant the kinds of actions that they're contemplating taking.
The other thing, I posted that dream that I had about, it was a whole bunch of dreams, but there were two volcanoes in my dreams, two volcanic eruptions in my dreams. And both of these volcanic eruptions dreams came before Yellowstone. So I wasn't having the Yellowstone eruptions going around in my mind when I was having these dreams. These were before Yellowstone. But anyway, one of the readers that wrote in and said he too has been having dreams, he wondered if HAARP was giving us these dreams, because his dreams also started before the news media started reporting about the Yellowstone caldera rumbling.
I would guess, based on my limited ability to diagnose these kinds of things, that it's not the actual functioning of HAARP, which is the massive radar array that's installed up in Alaska, but rather a subset of the effects of the radio wave saturation of our atmosphere. And the reason that this appeals to me as an explanation is that nobody knows exactly what the constant agitation of our electromagnetic bodies by these radio waves over the years can do, or will do, or has done. We know that we are electromagnetic people. We know that the brain is the hive or the center of electromagnetic activity in the body. And we know that our souls and spirits are tied to that in some form or fashion, whoever knows why that is doesn't discuss it. And anyone who denies it is going against the absolute truth of our physical life. We're born electromagnetic, and we die when the electromagnetism ceases. You can't communicate with a dead person by electromagnetic beams. Can't be done.
Hmm.
So,
well, what you're saying is whether or not HARP was out there doing that, there is a possibility that whether we have radio on or not, that some of us are just picking up this information that's out there.
Well, look at what's happened. First, we started with radio on the AM frequency. Then, in the 50s, we had radio on the FM frequency. Then, radar became part of the national defense. In the late 50s, it was all over the place. So, there's more radio there. Then, with the augmentation and elaboration of cell phones, which were invented back during, well, the principle was invented back during the Second World War, use of cell phones has skyrocketed in 20 years. And nobody knows for sure what this means. Now we have cell towers all over the country, and people are using the cell phones by the millions. And so this is generating what I call the fog of electromagnetic radiation.
Yeah.
We do not know what it means. We do not know how it's positively or negatively affecting us. It could be doing both. It could be raising certain aspects of our consciousness at the same time that it's making us, you know, weaker. Or it could be that it has no particular physical effect.
It could be turning us into the hive that you mentioned a minute ago.
That's possible, but, you know, people are so individual, and we understand so little of how the DNA interaction produces an individual human being that, you know, almost any explanation is credible up to the point where you can't support it anymore. But let's look at the basic facts, as I just stated them. We're electromagnetic in origin. When you begin life, you have an electromagnetic signature. The soul somehow or another connects with that and enters the body at some point. You know, whether it's at the time of conception or the third day or the third month, I don't know. No one knows for sure, but it's there. And at some point, you can start reading the brain waves of the unborn child with devices that we have, you know, currently in operation. And certainly, any woman, you know, who has been a mother can tell you, if something happens and the baby stops thinking, they know. I mean, they can still be, you know, living and breathing, but within the womb. But if they stop thinking, the mother nearly always senses it right away. So, you know, it's like magic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, it does things, we don't really know how things are done, and we can see the effects, but we don't understand the trick.
Okay, well, anyway, something went on yesterday and the day before yesterday, and I just have a feeling that the UFO, the pelicans falling out of the sky, Yellowstone having about four or five more earthquakes, or maybe even more than that, and what was the other one? Oh, National Weather Radar being off. I just have a feeling that those are all connected.
Well, let's look at that scenario one more time. The National Weather Radar goes down, and yet HARP and the other things that are employed were probably still working. Plus, everybody in the country was using their cell phones without any interruption that I've heard about. So the amount of fog, electronic fog, that was there was decreased, but it was changed. And so what does that mean? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I just have a feeling that they're all connected. And one of the other stories that was sent in by a reader who went out and somehow found all of these articles was about Pepsi and Coke. And, you know, we at Rumor Mill have been following the PepsiCo, the Cola Wars. We call them the Cola Wars. And people who don't know what the Cola Wars are significant, or why this is significant, is Pepsi has for years been aligned with the American Patriot Movement, or with Faction 2. Coke is owned by the elite and has been aligned with communism, the New World Order, etc., etc.
And Santa Claus.
And Santa Claus, yes. Coke invented Santa Claus.
In his red suit, by the way.
Yeah, in his red communist colors, right. Down in Nicaragua and El Salvador during, you know, during the Contra time, if you were carrying the wrong soda can, if you were carrying a Pepsi in a communist, you know, dictatorship, you know, communist ruled area, you were the enemy. You were killed. And so you really had to be, you had to know that. It's sort of like the gangs, you know, the red and blue colors in the gangs. You know, now I wonder. Gee, I wonder if the red gangs are controlled by the New World Order and the blue gangs are actually controlled by Faction 2. I never thought about that.
Well, that would be an interesting source of some research for somebody with lots of time.
With lots of time, exactly. Well, anyway, the Cola Wars, it's been my belief that Faction 2, this group of covert people all around the world, they're covert nationalists. And when I call a person a nationalist, it's an American, America first because I'm an American, or Mexico first because I'm a Mexican, or Canada first because I'm a Canadian. These are nationalists. These are people who do not believe in a one-world government and a one-world order run by the, you know, international banking elite. And so all around the world, there is a loosely connected group of people who have been throwing log jams and gumming up the works for over 100 years now to make sure that these international bankers do not institute their one-world government. Well, Faction 2, which is this nationalist group worldwide, they own Pepsi. I mean, they are practically the 100% shareholders of Pepsi. And the New World Order is 100% shareholders of Coke. And it is my belief that Faction 2, this hidden group around the world, sends us messages in the media by what is happening to Pepsi and Coke. And so if you look at the headlines that this man sent, there was one headline for Pepsi that says, DreamWorks Animation and Pepsi-Cola's Sobe Life Water have joined with Intel to create the first Super Bowl ad to air fully in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a pretty neat thing, and that kind of makes me think that maybe DreamWorks and Intel might be Faction 2 companies. But now listen to the headlines for Coke. Coca-Cola Bottling Company leaving Flint, Michigan. Lynn ends company's long history with the vehicle city. Okay, so why are they pulling out of Flint, Michigan? I mean, that's really kind of weird.
Well, the answer to that is somewhat difficult to ascertain simply by looking, but the banking powers have basically written off Michigan entirely.
You know, I think that may be what it is. Okay, well, the next
they've
one...
They've done that before. They pulled out of the cotton trade when things did not go their way in the Civil War.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Maybe they're pulling out of Coca-Cola. That is an interesting thing.
No, they pulled the manufacturing of Coca-Cola there out.
Okay.
So,
well, the next case that went against them was in India, and the High Court has ruled against Coca-Cola India's contention that proof of profit transfer outside India is a precondition for applying to transfer pricing rules. So in other words, India has ruled against one of their pricing policies, company policies.
Uh-huh.
And the next one, this is very interesting.
And that's big because India is a major consumer.
Oh, absolutely. But now this next one, where the CEOs of Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Royal Caribbean, and others are going to be gathering in Miami to address the global economic crisis, energy demand, and more.
Mm-hmm.
This seems kind of strange. I mean, is Al Gore going to be there, I wonder?
He'll probably be haunting the premises, yes.
I've known that McDonald's was Faction 1, the New World Order. I've known that they were Faction 1 for years now, but I had no idea about Royal Caribbean. But it kind of makes me think that maybe the three of them are connected, Pepsi with Intel and... what was that other company that they were involved with? DreamWorks. Is DreamWorks George Lucas or is it Steven Spielberg?
Spielberg, and he's always been a questionable commodity, you know, intellectually in my book. But who knows? I mean, the man is brilliant, and he swings a heavy bat in Hollywood. And if Spielberg says do it, it gets done.
That's for sure.
So,
and the next headline.
But then again, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
okay, go ahead, finish up with him.
These divisions between the two factions are not based on race or ethnicity or religious
No, nothing
upbringing.
Like that.
No.
They are based, as I said, on nationalism versus globalism. And, you know, Steven Spielberg's a Jew and has huge backing and lost a lot of money with this Bernie Mad Dog, as I call him.
Madoff, yeah.
Madoff
with everything.
Exactly. You know, I swear to God he's a CIA cutout. I swear to God they made up his name simply at the very beginning because they wanted that to be the joke. Oh, Bernie Madoff with everything.
No, I guess.
Anyway, what I was just about to say is it, there are many Jews that are part of Faction 2. I mean, Faction 2 just isn't made up of people who hate Israel because they could blame Israel for everything. There are many Arabs that are part of Faction 2. And so it is nationalism versus globalism. And that's what Faction 2 is about.
Exactly. What you're talking about there is the higher order of continuity, an allegiance to an ideal on each side, which has certain merits of its own. Globalism is not a good idea because the way it has been implemented has acted to crush down the aspirations of people all over the world and to enrich the super rich who don't really need the money but who enjoy the power. And we know something about how this kind of economic power works on people. It's like heroin. Once you get it, you don't want to let it go. You can't let it go. Because
you can't let it go.
Everything
and not only that, you're blackmailed. Once you get
right.
it, the elite never let you out of their grips. They blackmail you. Or
that's
they threaten
exactly
to
right.
kill your family. And, you know, poor Dennis Kucinich, I swear to God, he's been told to join the club or we're going to take your family members out one by one. They've already taken two out. I think that guy's got enough backbone that he's going to keep going. It'll be interesting if one of his own children dies soon.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, but I can tell you, my sense of Kucinich is that the more you irritate him like that, the more prickly he's going to be. He just might change his method of attack, but he's not going to quit.
He's not going to quit. I agree with you completely. You know, the mainstream media has made him out to be the biggest flake the world can imagine. Of course, Shirley MacLaine adds to that, and I've always had my suspicions of her. I've always felt that she was a CIA asset from the time she was a teenager, and if you look at her history, you can see why I think that.
Absolutely.
She was married to an NSA operative for 20 years. From like age 19 to age 39, then suddenly she comes out of that with practically no dancing or acting or anything and is picked up as part of the Rat Pack. It's sort of like, you know, how did she get from being a housewife to a Rat Pack, you know?
That's a good question, because even in the Rat Pack, I think maybe there were both factions represented.
Well, I actually always thought the Rat Pack was Faction 2. But now that you bring that up, you're right. Probably both factions were represented there. And
you
maybe
know,
she was sent in to infiltrate. Who knows?
Well, that could certainly be. I've always felt that Sammy Davis Jr. was more than anybody ever understood. You know, they tried to pawn him off as this goofy, you know, not very intellectual kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have a serious weakness, which was his Jones for gambling
mm-hmm.
and losing. But in the last 2 years, for various reasons, I've had to reconsider his role as an entertainer, and it's a groundbreaking role. I mean, he was something that you didn't see a lot prior to, you know, whenever he made his appearance in his first film.
Yeah.
He was able to swing a big bat, and people loved him. I mean,
mm-hmm.
just the entire Elvis Presley crowd, probably the second most popular entertainer in that crowd would have been Sammy Davis Jr.
Well, before we get off my Coke and Pepsi thing, I just wanted two more. There were three negative, and two questionable headlines that all appeared in the paper on the same day, January 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was fizzy drinks sold by Coca-Cola, orange fizzy drinks, in Britain were found to contain pesticides at up to 300 times the level allowed in tap or bottled water.
Wow.
Okay, this is Fanta. And, of course, soft drink you know, Coca-Cola writes back and says that our Fanta range contains pesticides. Anyway, they're denying it.
Right.
Actually, one of for the listeners, if you go in and see this, you'll see a bunch of the old Cola War ones where Coca-Cola to replace Pepsi and NASCAR coup, mm-hmm. and then EU raids Coke office. More on the Cola Wars, Pepsi and Coke Spar. But my favorite one, oh yeah, then we had the suicide where the guy was drinking a can of Pepsi in Congress and tried to kill himself. So that was an interesting one.
Wow.
But my favorite one forever, and maybe I didn't even get it here. Oh no, here it is. It's Pepsi and weapons must be left at the gate. Isn't that the greatest headline ever? Pepsi
Absolutely.
And weapons must be left at the gate. And evidently during the Australian Olympics, Coca-Cola had the, you know, had the franchise for the Olympics. And that was the headline out there. If you're carrying weapons or Pepsi, you have to leave them at the gate.
I'll tell you, it's pretty hard to find a weapon in Australia anymore.
Oh, my God, I know. I just can't believe that the Australians have allowed that to happen.
I
cannot believe that.
They've already come to regret it. Now, what happens next, I don't know. But we'll see, because I don't think it's going to last much longer. The social discomfort level there is pretty high.
Well, I think a lot of people have awakened to the fact that the elite consider Australia their lifeboat. And
sure.
So when everything goes to hell everywhere where else in the world, you know, they're all going to go down to their secret underground bunkers. You know, by which, that underground bunker under Ayers Rock, I think you've probably heard about that one.
Mm-hmm.
I was told years ago, and I don't think I've ever bothered to tell anybody, but Faction 2 ran a test on Faction 1 and let them know that no matter how safe they think their underground bunkers are, Faction 2 can gain access to their air supply and kill everybody in their bunkers.
Wow. See, this is what is so meaningful about the split between the two factions and the need for us to try to understand it by whatever means we can muster. These guys, and they are mostly men in the leadership, are not playing for small potatoes. This is the big enchilada. They're looking to cripple each other, and they're going to go to the game plan that most suits them. If it hurts us, I don't think either faction cares that much because they want to win. This is a bitter, nasty rivalry, which probably goes back several hundred years, if not,
I think it goes back to the time that whatever his first name, Meyer, was, set up his first little bank, then changed his name to Rothschild. I think that's when it began.
Oh, Amschel.
Yeah, Amschel Meyer. And then when they infiltrated the Illuminati. The Illuminati, in my opinion, actually started out as a benevolent group wanting to do good, but the bad guys always seem to find the benevolent groups and infiltrate them. And then they infiltrated the Illuminati in the 1700s, and it's been going on ever since then.
And it's a fight to the finish, that's for sure.
And it is. It's a fight to the finish. And here we are. We're going to listen to Pete Seeger singing my favorite song. Because right at the moment, Richard, our thoughts are the only things that are free. And Lord knows, with harp and microwaves and cell phones, I don't know how much longer our thoughts are even going to be free. So thanks, Richard, for sitting in with me.
Always.
And I'll be back tomorrow, folks.
And this gives me pleasure, my conscience decrees, this right I must treasure, my thoughts will not cater to duke or dictator, no man can deny.